Howdy. Welcome to every one of you today. I forget all of that. Man, are you having fun yet? I hope you are. I hope you've had fun. We're just so glad. I mean, we are so glad that it's finally here, this big day. I mean, it started months ago with all the planning. And I mean, it was maybe even a couple of months ago that we took a day trip up to Kansas and got a bunch of this stuff that you see around here from a church that was kind enough to just donate it to us. Well, because it had been donated to them. And we're looking forward to the chance that we're going to get to donate it to somebody else and bless somebody else. But I hope you've had a good time. Anybody get some lemonade, a little popcorn maybe? Anybody jump in the bounce house? Yeah, some of you did. Uh-huh. Okay, here's the real question. Anybody in here rode on the train? Let me see, did anybody squeeze in and ride? No. Yep. Here we go. We got one. This is about having a good time. It's about having fun. It's about being with our friends. How many of you are here today because a friend invited you to come? Anybody here today because a friend invited you to come? Yeah. Hey, we welcome you. We're glad that you're here. You know, when I said, is anybody here today because a friend invited you to come? Maybe you were thinking, I already come to this church, and so I didn't really get invited. But how many of you, you're here today because at some point you got invited? Yeah, a friend reached out to you. Yeah. And that's really what I want to talk about. You know, we're in this your story. Obviously, it's a takeoff of Toy Story. But if you've watched the movie, and probably most of you have, anybody in here Who would be bold enough to confess that you've never seen Toy Story? Anybody? We got a few folks. You've never seen Toy Story. Hey, can I just say I feel your pain? I had never seen it until just recently, trying to get ready for this sermon series. You know, somebody said, "Hey, Pastor, if we're going to do your story, you might ought to watch the movie." You know, you just might ought to watch the movie. And so, in some of my quarantine days of late, I had a chance to sit with my granddaughter and watch several episodes of it. And I tell you, there's a lot of really cool themes in this movie, in this story, and we're going to cover some of those over the course of the next couple of weeks. But the one that I really want to talk to you about today is friendship. Friends, the importance of friendships. I mean, we talked about it. I've asked you, did you come with a friend? Did a friend invite you? But when you look at the Toy Story movie, one of the things that becomes super obvious very quickly in the movie is the importance of friends, whether it is little Woody, whose best friend is Andy, his people person who actually owns him. Woody's the toy, and Andy's his people. And Woody's convinced that they're best friends. Or early on in the movie, you're introduced to not just to Woody, but to Buzz. And Buzz comes in, and Buzz is the new toy on the block, if you will. He's the new toy in the house, in the room, and there's a little bit of jealousy that Woody has. He's not so sure about this Buzz Lightyear guy who thinks he's the real thing and doesn't even know that he's just a toy. And so, Woody's got just a little bit of animosity there, a little distrust. But it's interesting to watch the development as they begin to realize that they really do need each other. And they've got a lot in common. And before it's all over with, they're hard and fast friends. And they do a lot of crazy things together. But then again, it's not just those two, but it's everybody. Whether it's Slinky or Mr. Potato Head or, Porky or all the other ones. They've all got a part to play. They all realize that we need each other. There's some missions that they've got to carry out, and they can't do it by themselves. Now, maybe you would remember this scene from the movie.
All right, nobody look till I get my cork back in. Good work, men. 2 blocks down and only 19 more to go.
What? 19? Are we going to do this all night? My parts are killing me.
Come on, fellas. Did Woody give up when Sid had me strapped to a rocket?
No.
No. And did he give up when you threw him out of the back of that moving van?
Oh, you had to bring that up.
No, he didn't. We have a friend in need. And we will not rest until he's safe in Andy's room. Now let's move out.
We have a friend in need. And so what are we going to do? We're all going to rally. We're all going to work together. It doesn't matter if it's comfortable. It doesn't matter if it's easy. It doesn't matter if it's convenient. We've got a friend in need. In fact, the very theme song of the whole Toy Story series is, "You got a friend in me."
There you go, Woody.
You're my favorite deputy.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Come on, let's wrangle up the cattle.
When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed. Just remember what your old pal said, boy, you got a friend in me.
So what is a friend? What is a real friend? As I begin to think about this series and the message today, you know, how would you define a friend? And how many, I mean, when you start to think about it, you start to count how many true friends do you really have in your life? And what's the difference between an acquaintance? What's the difference in a neighbor? Somebody that you just, maybe you do one little activity with because you have that in common. What's the difference in those people in your life and a true friend? There was a magazine recently who asked for and offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And they got a lot of good answers. One was, a friend is one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is inviolable. Another was, a friend is one who understands our silence. You got a friend like that? That when you're in your silence, when you don't even have words for it, but they just know how to be there for you. But the winning definition was, a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. A friend is one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. They're the people that you can count on in the good times and in the bad. Heard the story of two guys that were hunters. They were out in the woods together. When they saw a grizzly bear making his way their direction, one of the guys sat down and started tightening up his tennis shoes so he could take off running. And the other guy looked at him and said, "Hey, don't you know you can't outrun a grizzly?" And the guy says, "I don't have to outrun a grizzly. I just got to outrun you." It's moments like that when you figure out who a true friend is. A friend is certainly more than just a companion. It's more than somebody that you just spend time with. You can always tell a real friend by the fact that when you've made a fool of yourself, he doesn't make you feel like you did a permanent job. A friend is a person who goes around saying nice things about you behind your back. And if somebody ever wondered why dogs have so many friends, it's because they've learned to wag their tail instead of their tongue. But you know, friendship is about a lot more than just what we say, isn't it? It's one thing to say, "I'm your friend." It's another one to really prove it by our actions. I read the story of a fifth grade class in California a couple of years back. There was one of the all the boys in the class shaved their head. Fifth grade students all shaved their head. You say, why did they do that? Because they had a classmate who had cancer. And he'd gone through chemotherapy and he'd lost all of his hair. And it was time for him to be returning back to class. And the classmates all decided, we don't want him to feel out of place. We want him to feel like he's a part of us. We love him. He's our friend. He belongs. And so they all shaved their head. In fact, it so motivated the teacher of the class that he shaved his own head as well. You see, that's what a real friend is. Not just somebody that talks about it, but somebody that's there for you in your time of need. And the Bible has a lot to say about friends. The Bible has a lot to say about friendship. the Bible says that he that would have friends has to first show himself friendly. Now, if you're struggling to have friends, I mean, just quoting some scripture here, that if you want to have friends, you have to show yourself friendly. You got to do more than just say, I'd love to have some friends. You got to put it into action. You got to show yourself friendly. That same verse goes on to say that there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, that's in the Proverbs. That's in the Old Testament. I don't know that the writer of the Proverbs really knew who Jesus was, but I figured out who the friend is that sticks closer than a brother. How about you? You know, when you start talking about friends in the Bible, there are a lot of examples that we could look at. There's this Old Testament story about two young men who were very good friends, but in the natural, you would not have expected them to be friends. One, his name is Jonathan. His father was named Saul. He was the king of Israel. And so Jonathan, being the son of the king, he was the prince. He was the heir to the throne. But his best friend was another young man by the name of David, who had been anointed to be the next king. In the natural, you would think that these guys would be enemies, that they would be at each other's throats, that they would be trying to see what they could do to, you know, take out the other guy so that they could get to the throne that they thought that they should inherit. But instead, these guys had each other's backs. These guys became best friends. These guys realized that there's something more important than a throne. There's something more important than power. Our friendship is more important. Jesus tells a story of a guy who's making his way to Samaria, on the road from Samaria to Jerusalem, and he comes across a guy that had been beaten up and left for dead. Now, that same guy had a couple of religious guys come by. They kind of waved and maybe sprinkled some holy water on him or something, you know, bless you. Maybe prayed a little prayer, but they really didn't do anything to help him out. They just kept on in their journey. But this guy, the Samaritan, Jesus says, when he saw the guy, he went to where he was. He got off of his donkey. He reached into his saddlebags. He pulled out everything that was needed, the oil, the wine, anything that he had that could be used as an antiseptic. He gets his bandages out. He takes care of the guy's wounds. He puts him up on his donkey, and he takes him to a place, an inn, it says. And he pays the innkeeper. And he says, keep him here until he fully is recovered. And if his stay is longer than what I'm paying you, when I come back around, I'll pay the rest. You know, when you look at that story, you begin to realize what real friendship is. It's not just saying something, it's doing something. The greatest example of friendship, though, comes from Jesus himself. And Jesus told us something about friendship. In John chapter 15, in verses 12 through 15, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. Jesus wants us to understand that his desire is to be our friend. I don't know if you've ever really come to that place of your understanding in your walk with Jesus. I mean, sometimes we look at God and, well, God is the creator. He's some big, powerful guy in the sky kind of thing. But my friend? We look at Jesus and we say, well, he's the Savior. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that paid the penalty for my sin. He's the one that wants to be my Lord, and I should bow down and worship him. And all of that is true. But Jesus says, beyond that, I want to be your friend. And in fact, he says, I've called you friends. I'm taking the first step. This isn't us presuming something. This isn't us saying, I want to step into a role that I don't deserve. Jesus says, no, I so want to be your friend that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm even willing to lay down my life. You know, some of us may have a friend that would lay down his life for us. Maybe there's somebody that you know of in your life that that if it really came down to it, you'd be willing to lay down your life for them. Most of us hope that the day doesn't come where we're put to the test on that. But Jesus came to the day where he was put to the test on it. And he did lay down his life for you and for me. Because Jesus wants to be a friend. You see, when Jesus becomes our friend, it changes everything. When Jesus becomes our friend, it changes our story. It changes. How many of you, when Jesus became your friend, it changed your story? It changed your whole life. Yeah. See, because when Jesus becomes our friend, everything changes. Look with me in the Bible. There's a couple of stories. How about Peter, for instance? Peter, when Jesus met him on the shores of Galilee, wasn't the great man of God that he would ultimately become. When Jesus first meets Peter, Peter is a rough, foul-mouthed fisherman. I mean, he's as rough as they come. But Jesus looks at him and he sees something inside and he says, I want you to come and follow me. I want you to hang out with me. I want us to become friends. Because if that happens, your life, your story is going to change. And instead of being just a fisher of fish, you're going to become a fisher of men. Your story is going to change. And his story did change. That same foul-mouthed preacher would a few years later stand on the day of Pentecost and preach a powerful message. 3,000 people would get saved. He would go on to be the guy who broke through the racial barrier and got the gospel out beyond the Jews to all of the Gentiles. Peter would be this great leader in the church. But it was because his story got changed when he became a friend of Jesus. When I think about people whose story got changed when they met Jesus, I think of Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus or Zacchaeus, however you say it. And Zacchaeus climbs up the tree because he wants to see this Jesus that he's heard about. When Jesus gets to the tree, he looks at him and he says, I don't want us to know each other from the distance of a tree. I want us to know each other from across the table. I want to sit down with you. Come on, let's go to your house, sit down and have a meal together. Because I want to become your friend. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to put you down for all of the wrong things that you've done. I just want to create a relationship with you. Jesus knew that if he created that relationship, everything would change in Zacchaeus' life. And it did. It changed his story. When I think about people that met Jesus and they became a friend of Jesus and it changed their life, I think of the woman at the well of Samaria. She was there. It was the middle of the day when Jesus comes looking for something to drink. She wasn't supposed to be there. Normally, people go to get the water early in the morning or late in the evening when it's cooler. They would socialize around the well. They would spend time talking with their friends around the well. But this lady's not there early in the morning. She's not there late in the evening. She's not there to socialize with her friends because she really doesn't have any. She's there in the middle of the day all alone. She's looking for love. She's looking for happiness. She's looking for joy. She's looking for fulfillment in her life, but she's not getting it quite right. When Jesus shows up, they begin to have a conversation about water and about living water. And about how that Jesus could offer her something that would quench the thirst that she's got in her life. And Jesus wasn't just talking about a natural thirst. He was talking about something deeper, something spiritual. He asked her at one point, he says, go get your husband. And the lady says, well, I don't actually have a husband. And Jesus says, well, you told the truth on that one. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And now the man that you're hanging out with isn't your husband. But he doesn't condemn her. And ultimately, in that conversation that they have, she begins to recognize this man who loves me, this man who knows about me, and yet he's not condemning me. He's offering me life. He's offering me hope. He's offering for my story to change. He's saying to me that your story begun this way, and your story has been written this way, but you don't have to keep on the same direction. Your life can change. Your story can change. And ultimately, she goes and tells the villagers, come see a man who told me all of the things about my life. This guy's got to be the Messiah. When we meet Jesus, he doesn't just want to be God. He doesn't want to just be Lord. He really wants to be our friend. See, Man hasn't always been the enemy of God. There was a time where man walked and talked with God every day. Best friends. See, the story that I'm going to tell you is not a Hollywood story. It's not one that was written by Pixar. The story that I want to tell you is a real story. It's a true story. It's a story about you. It's your story. And it's my story. This was a man by the name of Adam. He was our great, 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 way back great, great grandfather. Adam was created and placed in the Garden of Eden. And he walked and he talked with God, the Bible says, in the cool of the evening. I don't know what they talked about. Maybe Adam is still discovering this beautiful place that God has created. And God would come down and see Adam and say, "Hey, Adam, how's your day been?" And Adam would say, "Oh, God, you should have seen it. It was awesome." And he would describe something that happened that day. "You ought to see this waterfall that I found." And God's just kind of sitting there going, "Yeah, I know all about that waterfall. I put it there. It is beautiful, though, isn't it? Oh, but the animals, I met a new one today. I named him." I don't know what they talked about, but they were best friends. Till one day, this other guy moved in to the neighborhood. And he was jealous of the friendship that Adam, our grandfather, had with God. And so he began to tell lies about God. He began to tell Adam things like, "God's holding back on you. You could be a whole lot better if you would just do it your way. God's really holding back on you. You ought to do it your way. Forget God's way." Somehow, Adam believed. We read the rest of the story where they ate of the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve. And the result was that the friendship that God and Adam once had that was so close and so dear was broken. The Bible begins to describe man as being at enmity with God. There's a lot of people today who really relate to that because God, you've looked at him as your enemy. He's the one that caused this bad thing to happen in your life. He's the one that didn't cause this good thing to happen in your life. So why would I want to love God? God's heart was broken because he lost this intimacy that he had with mankind. But he didn't give up. He had a plan. He had a wonderful plan. The plan was that his son Jesus would become a man, that he would come into this earth, that he would live a sinless, perfect life so that he could be our friend, the greatest kind of friend that anyone could know, the kind of friend who would lay down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did 2,000 years ago as a man, the Son of God. He was hanged upon a cross, nailed to a cross between two thieves. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, the Bible tells us that we all have sinned like Adam. We've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And it goes on to say that the wages, the results, the end of our story, if we stay that way, is death. You see, that doesn't sound like good news. Well, you got to turn the page in the book. You see, there's a but at the end of that page. That the wages of sin is death, but flip the page. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life that we can have through Jesus. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he died. He died in my place, in your place, so that we don't have to spend an eternity separated from him, so that we could be reunited with him He died on the cross, paid the penalty for our sins, rose again on the third day to secure for us eternal life, so that my story and your story could be changed. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the story of the Word of God that tells us the truth about what once was and what can be again. That tells us the truth of the condition of all humanity, that, yeah, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. None of us deserve eternal life. But a story of a God who is so loving and gracious and giving, who would allow his son to come to this earth, and a son who would love us so much and be willing to be our friends, that he would say, I'm willing to lay down my life for you, to pay the penalty of your sin, to change your story so you don't have to live the way that you've been living. You don't have to have the future that you see when you look at your future today. But you can have a different story, a different future, with Jesus Christ as your best friend. Lord, you know what our needs are today. Speak to us. Meet us in our place of need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thing that Jesus wants to be our friend. It makes me chuckle. Like, you actually want to enjoy my company. You know, the one guy that's perfect, the perfect one, he laughs at my jokes. Whoever laughed at the jokes, I'm accepting applications for friends. Anyways. But he laughs at our jokes. He actually wants a relationship with us. Let's just break down that whole friend thing, right? He wants a relationship with us. He actually created us to know him. Do you know what eternal life is? To know God. Do you know how long it takes to get to know God? An eternity. It takes forever to get to know the guy that lives forever. Good? I think the invitation is this, that the Lord just doesn't want you to make this decision and call yourself a Christian and say, well, now let me just pick myself up by my own bootstraps and change my story. I'm gonna put my effort towards this. I'm gonna be forever changed. Now the pressure's off. I've been most changed by the people that love me the most. Right? It's his love that changes us. It's actually a relationship with him that changes us. Sometimes I think, you know, I've heard this before, when people make this decision and they say, Lord, I'm going to give you my life, right? They go, you know, they go into the mirror and think they're going to see a halo over their heads and they're just going to be forever changed. No, guys, it's the relationship with him that changes you. And then when you meet him face to face, you'll look like somebody that was loved very well. Very well. Is that good? Full of joy, full of peace, full of life. We live without that. Sometimes because we're so wounded and the world is suffering and in so much pain, we live without that. We think we have to protect ourselves. We think we have to be the Lone Ranger. You know, that is not one of the characters in this movie. We have to be the lone wolf. Is that a better analogy? Right? We have to get about this life by ourselves and muscle it through. Guess what, guys? no matter where you are in life, he actually wants you, and he wants you and him to be in relationship. He actually wants to be present with you in your pain. He actually wants to be present with you and to help you. Did you see that definition of a friend? When all the world has gone, the friend is the one that comes in. He wants to be that friend that comes in and sits with you and you have nothing to say. I've experienced that. How many of us in here have experienced the presence of Jesus when we don't know what to do? He's such a friend. And if that's you today, that say, I want to start this relationship with the man. I can help you. I can tell you what we said that started our relationship with this man. It's real. Trust me, it's real. How many of us know it's real? See these hands around you? It's real. There's life and peace on the other side of this invitation. Okay? And if you're wanting that, with every eyes closed and head bowed so you don't feel weird, all eyes on you. And you say, I want this relationship. I want this friendship. Go ahead and just wave at me a little bit. Hey, I see that. I see you. Yeah, I see you guys. All right. Say it like this. Jesus. Yeah, let's say it together with them. Jesus, I want what they got. I want this love that you have for me. I want this friendship that you want with me. Would you take my life? Would you take my heart? Would you take my time? Would you step into it? And would you just get to know me? And help me to get to know you? Would you talk with me? Would you help me? Would you heal me? I'll trust you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's real simple. Isn't that? And guess what? Welcome to the fam. You know? That's awesome. I'm so glad. If you said that, now there's no shame in it, right? Because you said the prayer and you're in part of the family. And you really are. You really are part of the family. I would love for you to do this. I just want someone to come and talk to you. We have some people that would love to just chat with you and give you some things. Wave at me one more time if you said that prayer today. You said that prayer, yeah. Dr. Carey, can you talk with him right there? Yeah, that would be awesome. And did I see another hand? I saw another hand. Maybe? Okay. Whoever you are. Yeah? I saw another hand. If you want to meet us at the Connections booth, that would be great. And we'll talk with you there. And Connections booth is right there, Guest Central. All right. Well, guys, isn't this amazing? Wasn't this fun? Can we have our prayer team to come up here and join me up top? And, okay, got you. And guys, we have this really special video that we're wanting to share with you just about the impact of inviting. And when that video is done, yeah, you can stay up here. When that invite is done and you have prayer needs and you'd love to connect with us at the end of that video, we'd love to pray with you. All right? Attention.
Hi everyone, Judy Tucker here. I want to just give you a little testimony of the importance of an invite. Back in 1984, there was a little lady who started taking care of my eldest son, Joe Glenn. He was 2, and she lived right north of I-44 here from the church. And she kept him for about a year, and then when she suggested, because her She was a little Italian woman, and her English wasn't real good, and she was afraid she couldn't teach Joe everything that he needed to know. So she suggested that I bring him to Temple Learning Center here at the church. At that time, it was called Evangelistic Temple. And from that, just that suggestion of coming here, and then she also suggested that coming to the church. She sang in the choir here at this church. But through the daycare, we made first relationships with Sherry Wilkie. And then from the daycare, starting the church here, the Tuesday after the first Sunday that we were here was Visitation Tuesday. And they had the church had a volunteer couple that came to see me. And I was visited by Lloyd and Lois Dinsmore. That's who came to my home. So that was another relationship that I was introduced to. And then about 5 weeks later or so, after attending church here, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I went down front, and it was Carolyn Zumwalt who led me through the sinner's prayer. And then in 1994, forward ahead, 1994, I became the administrative assistant here. And a year after I came here, I had really bad arthritis in my hips. It was after the birth of my last son, James. And I was in an awful lot of pain quite often. And so I came down to the front, and Carolyn Zumwalt put her hands on my hips and began to pray, and that arthritis left me. I've been arthritis free in my hips since 1997. And it just goes to show you that your invite will always be God ordained. I see God's hand upon this whole path that I took, from the simple invite of Silvana Lodato to come to this church, and all the people who have impacted my life, from the daycare, from the salvation, from healings, beginning to tithe. All that has impacted my life, not to mention the wonderful people of this church. And I'm just thankful for it. Through being the administrative assistant since 1994, I've also had great bosses like Dan Beller, who was my first boss, and then Norman Wilkie, and now Pastor Tommy McLaurin. I mean, impacted my life like I can't even tell you how much it has impacted my life. So today, my encouragement to you is to invite somebody to this series that we're having. And through that invite, and those people come to this church, it gives an opportunity for the people here, as well as for the Lord, to begin to make an impact in those people's life and change them forever. God has a plan. All you got to do is invite. So invite them to this series. You'll be glad you did, and it will change their lives forever. So thank you for inviting people. Please do not hesitate to do that, and hopefully we'll see some lives changed.
What a joy. I love Miss Judy. I love her, and I'm so glad that she's here. Who knows Miss Judy? Come on, let's just say yay. Well, guys, it's been great. I'm just kidding. No, it's so fun to be a spiritual family with you all. And if you guys need any prayer, just want to open up this time to bless you. Let me pray for you, and you are formally dismissed. Father, I thank you and I bless you for this time. I thank you for this spiritual family. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to do amazing things in the weeks to come, as well as even this week. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.